Well, who's having a good morning? Anyone stay up and watch the rugby? Yeah, good. We're talking about powerlessness this morning, which is the Wallabies' defence. Yeah, that's good. It's a big turnaround from last week, wasn't it? So this morning, yeah, we're going to look at the powerless in our world, because it's a big part of our world. And if we look at the Bible, we see that in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and he gave us dominion over the earth. And from the very beginning, we have been given an authority to care for this world and for everything in it. But the reality is that authority is nothing without power. But with power also comes responsibility, at least as far as God's concerned. You know, when he gives us, blesses us with something, there's a responsibility that we would be wise stewards of that. But often we see that the pursuit for power, for power's sake in this world, you know, people use influence to oppress and enslave others rather than lifting people up and empowering them. You know, people get used as stepping stones on the path to success, whatever that looks like. You know, it really is a short-sighted view of life. A way of thinking that we can be somehow more valuable than someone else. You know, the desire to control and manipulate and have things our way so that we are, you know, we feel greater than. You know those disaster movies you see where they always have the few that get to go to the bunker because they're the brightest and the best in the world, you know, and everyone else gets a lottery to see if they get in. It just represents our world, doesn't it? You know, that's not God's way. You know, God, he wants to save everyone. And so much of the issues that Jesus addressed in his earthly ministry had to do with power inequality. And throughout the Bible, we see that God's heart is always for the disempowered, you know, the powerless, the voiceless, the least, the lost. And he uses his power to lift up the downtrodden. He gives grace to the humble. I like what James says in chapter 4, verse 6. He says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And what is humility but just a recognition that we need help? That we need others in our life. We just can't do it on our own. And it's no coincidence that God chose Israel, you know, a nation of slaves, to demonstrate his love and power to the world. And if you look at our world today, there is so much evidence that, you know, that powerlessness is a big factor in our society. See, to be powerless by definition is to be without ability, influence, or power. Go figure. But, you know, when you see someone who's powerless, you see it manifest itself in, you know, crippling addictions. You know, that's someone who's powerless, isn't it? Someone stuck in poverty, just unable to get beyond, you know, the desperation. Someone suffering from sickness or illness. You know, what control can we have over illness? Isolation, being an outcast in society. Having a disability, being the minority, being different to everyone else. The refugee. And I think that unless we've been in a truly desperate situation, we would never realize what it really is like to be truly powerless. You know, the poor have so little influence in this world, which is why they pay more for things. It just seems wrong, doesn't it, that, you know, that you know, the penalties kick in when you can't make your payment. So the little that you have goes even less far. But if you have a lot of money, you get bulk buying discounts. You know, you have more influence. You know, the banks will give you a lower interest rate. It just seems wrong, doesn't it, that the world is so upside down. You know, for all of us, you know, it's often unexpected circumstances or even expected circumstances that we just haven't prepared for. Happens to all of us, doesn't it? You know, those things can push us over the edge into a situation where we are unable to deal with what's happening. Suddenly our sense of control is gone. Has anyone ever been in a situation like that? I have. I've many times in my life I suddenly felt like, yep, I'm a victim. Forced into a situation that I just didn't want to be in. And it's a horrible place to be. And it does strange things to the way we react to life. You know, we can always have this sense of power sometimes in one area of life, but we've lost it in another. You know, maybe your finances have got out of control, but in other areas of life, you know, you're still fit and you're still healthy. Yeah, you have control over that. And so there's this, we overcompensate for that lack of power we have in that area. You know, there's a lot of ways we can try and overcome our sense of vulnerability. You know, we can manipulate others to try and get that sense of control back. You know, that, you know, I can tell them what to do, so it makes me feel better. Yeah, it does, doesn't it, sometimes? You know. But it doesn't change our situation. We can do crazy things to prove to ourselves that we are in control. You know, we can drive really fast. We can do something that's just crazy, just to prove that we have control. We can turn to those things that make us temporarily forget all our problems. You know, the escapism, the books, the movies, the games. Just really lose ourselves. We could also just sit and do nothing. Stare mindlessly at the TV or computer screen in the hope that things will change for us. But whoever wants to admit that we have a weakness, that we need help? You know, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the churches of Rome speaks of our powerless condition before God. That we all share a common condition of powerlessness in this world. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, we all need saving. Whether we're rich or poor, slave or free, that's Paul's whole idea, isn't it? That everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs the salvation of Jesus Christ. And much like a drowning person who's unable to save themselves in our moment of need, God sent a Savior to deliver us if we're willing to trust Him. If we're willing to give up on trying to do things our way and cover it up and just admit, Jesus, I need you. Like Amanda said this morning, admit that we need Jesus in our life and we will follow Him. He's there to save us. So if you've got your Bible, if you'd like to turn to Romans 5, I'm just going to read from verse 1. Paul says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I really love that concept of Paul's, that we glory in our sufferings. When was the last time you gloried in your sufferings? I can't remember. Maybe this morning as we were setting up and we had a lot of technical issues. There was much perseverance that was happening. Glory to God. But as Christians, we can glory in our sufferings because we know there's an end to it, don't we? We have a view beyond here and now, and we know that anything we go through is temporary. And through faith in God, we can trust that whatever we're going through, God is still God, He still loves us, and He is there for us. And He'll never give us more than we could ever handle. And we know this here, where it really matters, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that is an amazing source of strength to us as we walk through the hard times in life. And it's in Him we find the power of the resurrection. We have such an amazing source of power in the Holy Spirit in our life. But when we lean on God and we trust Him in the hard times, and we know that even though we may feel powerless, that in Him we have strength trusting God means that we also need to trust that His timing is going to be the right timing. You know, we can do this one of two ways when we're waiting on God. We can patiently allow the Spirit to refine our character and allow, you know, God to work us through it. Or we can take matters into our own hands and try and make things happen ourselves. I always tend to try and do that, you know, that the sitting around and waiting really can frustrate me sometimes. But no, you always have to remember that God, He is the one. In verse 6, we read that Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, so much could be understood about God's character in that little verse, you know, that the way God loves is so different to the way of the world. Because while we were powerless to help ourselves, while we were in our powerless state as God's enemies, we weren't His friends. You know, He loved us, but we didn't love Him. Jesus came to rescue us and set us free. That's what God calls love. It's reaching out to help an enemy when they needed it the most. It's not to put the boot in when they're down. Think, ha, yeah, about time, you got what coming to you. Tempting as that may be. See, God's timing is always right. You know, you think about where you are right now. Think about the people that you work with. The neighbor across the street. The person who seems to be all alone that you walk past sometimes and you think, oh, man, it sucks to be them. Do you think it's coincidence that you've thought about them? You know, Queen Esther had to be reminded that it was for such a time as this that God had brought her out of obscurity and into the place of influence. You see that, you know, Jesus, when He was here, He would reach out to everyone who came to Him. Even the odd Roman soldier who were literally enemies of Israel. They were the oppressors. But He would go out of His way to help the oppressed, the widow, the poor, the outcast, the blind, the lame. He would always act on behalf of the powerless. Those humbled by life's circumstances, praise God. You know, those who are cruelly possessed by demons or those mistreated by those in authority over them, you know, they would come to Him, to Jesus, expectant, hopeful, desperate. There was nowhere else they could go. See, it's one thing to have power to influence and or change things, but it's another thing entirely to use it to help others. Just look at what happens, you know, when you look at the politics of the world and the wonders of bureaucracy that can go horribly wrong. You know, countries that are rich in resources, yet their people live in fear and poverty simply because people who have the power care more about the position than they do about the people under them. You know, in many ways, you know, society was a lot different back in Jesus' day. In many ways, it isn't. You know, you had the Jews who were God's chosen people. And then you had the Gentiles who were viewed by the Jews as wretched heathens. We don't see the world like that, do we? You know, us and them. Anyone who worked for the Gentiles was even worse than a Gentile. They were, you know, they were scum. You know, the tax collectors and prostitutes and the sold out ones who were working for the enemy. And, you know, let's be honest, they were far from perfect people. But when a crowd of tax collectors and Pharisees and prostitutes were gathered around Jesus, Jesus told some amazing parables. And just to set the scene, you know, Jesus has just stirred the Pharisees up a little, as He loved to do. He loved to point out their things that they just didn't get a handle on, and he'd told them that, you know, you can't serve both God and money, because they had a lot of money and they didn't really appreciate what Jesus was saying. And so right now they really hate Jesus when Jesus tells this, you know, telling these parables. And the tax collectors are just loving Jesus more and more because, you know, he's really giving it to the Pharisees, and they know this. And then there's this amazing parable in Luke 16 and about the rich man and Lazarus. So I just want to read it to you. So one day there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, if anyone was in a powerless state, it was Lazarus. You know, he had to be carried to the gate. And dogs were the only ones who would tend to his sores and wounds. You know, you imagine if that was you. Total poverty. Unable to do a single thing to help yourself. Even if you wanted to, you're too sick, too weak. You know, there have been many like Lazarus back there, lying on the street, just begging for mercy, hoping that someone would have pity on them and help them get through that day. Hoping against hope that just a scrap from the rich man's table would be able to satisfy the hunger that is burning in him. It's a horrible thing to be powerless. But Jesus carried on. He said, you know, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that even if he wanted to go here to you, he cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. You know, life often seems messed up, doesn't it? That, you know, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. But when you really look at it, it's just life happening to everyone. And it can be really hard to judge good and bad sometimes, isn't it? Who is a good person? Who is a bad person? Then the rich man answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I've got five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also not also come to this place of torment. Then Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, But if someone from the dead goes to them, then they will repent. Then he said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Obviously Jesus, you know, he rose from the dead and they still did not listen to him. But the story is not about money, as we may think it is. It's not about the rich man having a lot and the Lazarus having nothing. Although you could read that into it. But it's about the spiritual hunger of the Gentiles at that time. You know, the outcasts and those powerless to enter the temple of God. The lost sheep. See, the rich man was Israel, blessed by God to be a blessing, to be a signpost to the world, to show God's love. And the Pharisees would have understood the significance of Lazarus going to the bosom of Abraham. You can imagine how that made them feel, because they thought they were the sons of Abraham. They had that privileged place to be in Abraham's bosom. And yet here was the Gentile dogs suddenly in that place, and then he wasn't. it would have really hit home. They would be even more angry with Jesus. But Jesus' point was really clear, that Abraham is the father of them both. See, the Jews had Moses and the prophets. The Gentiles did not. We have Jesus Christ. Our world doesn't. God is their father too. God's love is not something we are to keep to ourselves. It's something we've been given. It's poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ died for the ungodly, you and me, so that we could gain a holiness that is not our own. You know, in our desperate search for meaning, we can find meaning in Him. And what a wonderful power that's been given us in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a power that can change lives and set people free. Open the eyes of the blind, reach down into the deepest, darkest dungeon and helplessness to bring hope. When you think about God's love at work in our life, you know, it's going to look like inconvenience to some people. You know, I spent a lot of time recently helping someone out who really had no one else to turn to. And in helping this guy out, you know, it turned into a really big lot of time and inconvenience, I suppose, in some ways. But it's given me a new appreciation for those who just don't fit into this world. And I've seen how much, just how much of a difference God's love can really make in one person's life. Just by, you know, just taking the time just to be there. Didn't seem like a huge amount that I was actually doing. But by helping him, I found that I was really helping myself. That's the paradox of the cross, you know, that, you know, death gives way to life. That in losing our life, that's when we find it. That Jesus, by giving up the power that, you know, that he had, he gave power to us all. Just as I close, you know, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Just invite the worship team up. We're going to take communion very shortly, but, you know, what does the powerlessness of life look like in your world? You know, when we're lost, it's a place of, you know, we're not able to help ourselves, are we? If you've ever been lost, you suddenly realize you don't know where you are, therefore you don't know where to go. And I believe that God has called us as His church to be there to show people the right way. See, in our helplessness, God helped us. And that is God's love for us. So I could just invite the ushers to hand out the emblems. Just as they're doing that, I'd just like to just close your eyes and it's just going to take a moment. And just as we just close our eyes, we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit to minister to us. But if you have felt hopeless in life, if you're experiencing an area of powerlessness, this morning, or maybe you know of someone who just needs that little helping hand,